there are these 8-second videos now of just like spoofs and pranks, and these are the kind of things that are causing a lot of dopamine dumping. So there's a rush of dopamine that you get. Your body releases dopamine and norepinephrine, and these are neurotransmitters that help you stay awake and feel pleasure and motivated. But what happens after you watch, you binge watch something like that for a while? You have what's called dopamine dumping. You dump out all your dopamine, now you're depleted. So when you're depleted of dopamine, it's hard to find motivation and pleasure in things that you normally used to enjoy doing.
Welcome on in. I'm so excited to have my guest who's here today in the house, Dr. Joseph Yee, who is a holistic psychiatrist, board certified in addiction medicine. He graduated as a chief resident of psychiatry from Cooper University Hospital. Now, Dr. Yee, you may know him as Street MD or Yogi. Is that, am I saying it correctly? Yogi MD?
Yogi MD
on social media. We're going to get to him in just a second. Now, Dr. Yee is very special in the fact that, yes, he does practice psychiatry, but also from a more holistic perspective and assists numerous patients in Pennsylvania to overcome their dependence to both illicit, but also prescription medication. So that's really interesting. I'm going to pick his brain on that subject a little bit as well. I'm so excited to have you here today. And, you know, this is something that is important, I think, that we're addressing from mind, body, and spirit. And that's exactly what you do. And that's why I really wanted to have you on the show. Welcome in, Dr. Yee. Nice to have you here. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me on your show. It is a tremendous honor and a privilege to vibe with you and the good people here today. It's interesting. My son the other day, he was asking me if I would ever go back to medical school. If I had to do it over again, would you ever do this again? And I said, no, with a H-E-L-L to the no. Because most of what we learned in Western medical school is about diseases, which is important.
Yes.
But we didn't learn much about health and solutions to heal. You know, it was all about diseases and masking symptoms. But I did tell him, if I could do it over, I still want to be a doctor, but I would rather be a naturopathic doctor, just like you, because you guys focus on ways of healing the body through tools and nutrients that we could give the body to heal itself. I believe that that's a much smarter strategy, but as a holistic psychiatrist, as you mentioned, I'm looking at the body as a whole. Sometimes I do believe that some people could benefit from some medications sometimes, but a lot of times the naturopathic means are the way to really help heal. So I'm glad that we're having this conversation and sharing some truth together.
I'm so glad to have you here. And yes, exactly. If I were to be asked the same question, you know, going back and even in naturopathy, it's something that I would have to think twice about it, because even the way that conventional medicine in even the more holistic realms is taught, there's still a lot of gaps and there's still, you know, a lot of things missing. But that's a discussion for another day. Let's get started. And my very first question that I really want to ask you, in your opinion, is there, do you think, an overdiagnosis of some of these, you know, big diagnoses out there? And, you know, when we're labeling things like anxiety, mental health disorders, do you think that there is an underpinning as to why, you know, back in the day when I think of when I was a kid and, you know, you're stressed out about something, you got a big event or a new situation, and you puke or you do, you know, you're stressed out, yes. But, you know, and if that happens more than a few times, you know, I think today, correct me if I'm wrong, it could potentially be a diagnosis of anxiety where, you know, back when I was a kid in my generation, you know, you're just dealing with life. So please enlighten us.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes, there is lots of overdiagnosis and misdiagnosis as well. And the issue that I'm having is, for example, a few months ago, I met this lady who came in on 12 different psychiatric medications. Now, I've seen some people on like one or two, one for depression, one for anxiety, another one for sleep. But 12 is just absolutely ridiculous.
Unbelievable.
So I asked the lady if she did any blood works. She said she never had blood works done. And turns out that her thyroid levels were all out of whack. So I referred her to her primary care doctor, who put her on some thyroid treatment regimen. And now she's one for anxiety and one to help her sleep. Wow. So great. We shaved off 10 medicines because the doctor, previous doctor, failed to recognize some other medical condition that was happening. So there are a lot of those kind of things happening. More recently, what I'm seeing, Dr. Janine, are men who are feeling very tired and depressed. Hey, did you get your testosterone level checked? No. Mm. boom, you know, it's really low. So I think we, and maybe there's a time for another discussion, another topic, but we are eating foods that are very nutrient deficient, and it comes from like the soil issues and all this stuff, pollution, chemicals that they're spraying all over the place. So we're eating nutrient deficient foods, and as a result, our body's not working the way it should be if it had the nutrients and the tools to do the work. So I'm seeing a lot of people that are misdiagnosed, overdiagnosed, and I don't believe that it's necessarily malintent. It's just the way that the Western medical doctors that we were trained, we didn't really get much on nutrition or fitness or namaste meditation practices. So what we learn is that if there's a symptom, there's a disease, we treat it with these kind of chemicals that mask symptoms.
Right. Which is, of course, we know it's not the fundamental ways that our bodies work. Our bodies aren't running on a chemical deficiency. We're running on the nutrient deficiencies, exactly as you're, you know, speaking to, which I think is so important that people realize that, yeah, you have to look at the root cause. And of course, as a naturopathic doctor, that's what we do. We always look at the root cause, and you know, determining that is going to have so much more value for the long term, because it's one thing to be on a medication, right? Or even taking your supplements for that matter. But for the long term, getting at some of those underpinnings as to why we have, you know, a lot of these deficiencies, and what then manifests as these bigger, you know, potentially mental health problems and the anxiety and such. Now, I do want to talk about my next question, modern causes of some of these so-called mental disorders, things like ADD, ADHD. We hear it all the time. I feel like when you're on social media, it's like every second person is talking about ADD. Oh, I've been diagnosed with ADD, ADHD. Is it truly that, you know, there is not the proper attention that we're experiencing, or is it something else?
Oh man. Okay. So I'm trying not to lose followers by this topic, but this is from my clinical experience, what I'm witnessing here. But let's take a couple years back, Microsoft came out with a study that measured humans and animal attention span. And basically a human, a normal human on average, can focus on something for about 8 seconds before they start thinking about something else.
8 seconds.
And it turns out 8 seconds. Yeah. And it turns out that a goldfish's attention span is 9 seconds. So now we officially have less. I don't know what a squirrel's attention span is, but that's not good. No. And I believe that that's the byproduct of technology addiction, because we have a wave of these people now saying that they have ADHD, especially this adult onset ADHD. Now, it's not to say that adults can't have attention deficit issues. Right. But if you're telling me that you are someone who had normal attention span as a kid, went to college, and now as a grown adult in your successful job, you just can't pay attention anymore. That's not ADHD. That's more of a technology-induced attention issue.
Yes.
Because, look, the reality of the situation is this. Before the pandemic, the average screen time for a teenager and an adult was about 7 hours and change. Afterwards, more recently, according to the American Academy of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry, the average screen time is now around 9 hours per day. Wow. So if you're sleeping 8 hours a night, let's just say, 16 hours you're awake, you're conscious, that's almost about 60% of your day you're inside the matrix. So when you're being stimulated to that magnitude, and they're paying, these big corporations are paying these psychologists, experts that are getting you glued to the phone, and not to mention TikTok here, where you know, you have 8 to 12 second videos. At least you're putting up a video about a minute that gives 3 useful tips to help someone else out. But if you see someone bungee jumping and the bungee cord breaks and that video goes viral, these are the kind of things that catches your attention and you get that dopamine rush, but it's not really helping you get anywhere in life. And once you take your face away from the screen and you look at normal day life, it's mundane, it's boring, it's not as stimulating as the Matrix. So then people start thinking, oh, I can't pay attention at work. I can't pay attention at school when the teacher's drawing something on the chalkboard.
Right.
I must have ADHD, and that's not the case.
It's not.
I'm trying to convince people like, hey, it's okay. We have more of a technology issue right now. Let's put the phone down and let's exercise the mind, which we don't seem to be doing enough of at this time.
Right. So let's can we dive right into some tips here? Like how, okay, when we talk about the kids, how, okay, as an adult, I mean, I'm on social media, I'm on my phone, I admit, and I get sucked in. It's like you can actually feel yourself getting sucked in because something just catches your eye. And I know, like you were mentioning, that there's a lot of research that's gone into that whole dopamine, you know, that addiction quality of what we're seeing. And I'm sure with the AI now, it's showing us what the technology knows that we will be interested in. So, and I mean, that's for me as a, I would like to think, you know, someone who's not technologically addicted, but think about these kids now that are, they keep seeing the same stuff. That's wow. Like how do we break the cycle? How do we, because does it, can you explain a little bit to our viewers and our family here about the dopamine and how it sort of down regulates over time, like how, because you know I'm a geek, I like to learn about the science part, and I try to teach people. If I find when people understand a little bit of the physiology, like not on doctor terms, but just sort of, you know, in a simple way, that they can start to make some connections for themselves, for their kids, for their loved ones, so that they can understand how that dopamine sort of down regulates. Can you just dive into that just a little
bit for us? Yeah. Now, the difference between you and some of the adults listening or watching this podcast versus our kids is this. The adults, you may be looking up medical content. You're learning things. So the studies are showing that when you're watching content where you're actually learning and improving in some way, that's okay. It's the mind-numbing and dumbing content. Like not too long ago, there was something called the milk crate challenge where a bunch of people were stacking up milk crates and trying to walk up this thing and breaking their necks. You know, these kind of dangerous pranks and so on, where you're getting a laugh out of it. And I guess that's good to laugh, but it's very addicting and you're not growing or learning at all. So that's, it's not about the length of time as much as it is the quality of the content that you're watching. So if you're watching content to learn and improve, it's much better than the mind numbing ones, number one.
Right.
But you notice that TikTok and Instagram and YouTube shorts now, like the videos are getting shorter and shorter. You know, one of the things that I respect so much about your content is about a minute long. You give three useful tips. There are these 8-second videos now of just like spoofs and pranks. And these are the kind of things that are causing a lot of dopamine dumping. So there's a rush of dopamine that you get. Your body releases dopamine and norepinephrine. And these are neurotransmitters that help you stay awake and feel pleasure and motivated. But what happens after you watch, you binge watch something like that for a while? You have what's called dopamine dumping. You dump out all your dopamine, now you're depleted. So when you're depleted of dopamine, it's hard to find motivation and pleasure in things that you normally used to enjoy doing. If you're someone who used to enjoy listening to Taylor Swift, you don't get the same pizzazz listening to her music as you did before because you're now dopamine depleted. So when dopamine levels are low and people's levels are depleted, what happens? They crave something that makes them feel better now, despite the long-term consequences. That might lead to alcohol, marijuana, drugs, whatever, more social media content. You know, so this is like this perpetual cycle that happens. And as an addiction psychiatrist, people will say, hey, what's the greatest threat right now in terms of addiction? Is it the fentanyl, you know, opioid epidemic? Yeah. Sure. A couple years back, America, in our country, we surpassed 100,000 drug overdose fatalities, most of it being opioids. But I think the silent killer right now is social media addiction, technology addiction. Right. Not only that, but with video game addiction, too. There are kids that are playing up to 12 hours of video games per day.
Oh, my goodness.
And so this is a big problem because this is a constant dopamine dumping and then your dopamine levels are low. You're not replenishing the nutrients that your body requires to produce more dopamine.
Right.
And so you're constantly chasing that with more video games, more social media content. That is why, Dr. Janine, back in the day, we used to have kids playing kickball out in the streets, playing, you know, riding bicycles together. Now neighbors are literally playing video games in their own homes and not connecting, you know, in person. So this is the kind of stuff that we're seeing. And we could talk about solutions as to how to get over this. But to answer your question, on a neurochemical basis, that's what's happening. People are dopamine fiends and they're chasing that high.
And would you tie sugar? I mean, I talk a lot about sugar addiction as well. Would you tie that into, you know, yes, you talked about fun of the alcohol for the adults, but for the kids, if they're their mom says, come up, it's dinner time, get off the games, right? Would you tie that into some things like, you know, that the kids are getting into? And I mean, they make the food addictive for the kids now as well. The junk food, I'm not talking about holistic, you know, whole foods that, right, you know, a lot of kids don't eat. Anything, yeah.
Anything that gives them that bump of dopamine or that pleasure.
Yes.
Sugar or that candy bar, that's what they're gravitated to. So yes, it's mostly social media, but video games, junk food. It's not just kids, but adults everywhere are more getting more and more dependent on what's on the screen. So that's why we're having this conversation now, and we got to get the word out there that people need to start changing.
Right. So let's go into tips then. What can we do? So let's start with the adults first, and then we'll dive into the kids, because I know you're really active with your kids, the pickleball and everything that I've seen, which I've now taken up. I love the pickleball. It's amazing. And I have to say, you influenced me in a little way, because we finally got pickleball in our gym where we go to work out with the family. And yeah, so I'm like, Dr. Yi would be proud of me. I'm whipping this thing all over the place. Yeah, it's so much
that's
fun.
That's amazing. I'm so happy for you. And for anyone watching, please give pickleball one try. One try. I'm telling
you,
it's one of the greatest things. We'll get into that in a moment. But
so let's start with the tips for the adults. Let's start there. Let's narrow it in down on tech. What are some tools, some takeaways that we can, you know, start? And baby, I'm always about the baby steps. You're not going to make that change and like leave your phone in the bathroom for the entire day. That's not going to happen. We know that we're still going to be on our phones, but what can we do?
100%. So there are many different ways to get the same desired effect. So I don't think there is a way of completely avoiding technology ever. Unless you want to live namaste in the middle of the jungle somewhere, I guess that's possible. But realistically speaking, right?
Right.
So this is my primary recommendation, is for everyone to take about a week tech break, if possible. Now, last January, I was just going through some stuff in my life, January 2023. And my wife said, look, Joe, why don't you just take a break a week, go somewhere and just like detox your mind, get away from people, technology, whatever. And I decided to go to the mountains, Sedona, Arizona, and I hiked for about a week.
Wow.
And they're saying that the further you move towards technology, the farther away you move from nature.
Right.
So the opposite of technology is nature. So if you want to detox from all this electronic bits and frequencies that you've accumulated from staring at the phone too much, no better way than go hiking up in the woods in the mountains somewhere. So I would highly recommend that, because when it comes to detox, when it comes to getting off of something, there are some people who could taper off of a psychiatric medication. But some people just got to do it cold turkey.
Uh-huh,
for example, if you're a tobacco smoker, you know, trying to smoke 20 cigarettes a day and then 18 the next day, 16, that never works. Never.
No.
You just got to stop. Goodbye. And then that's it. So with technology, sure, I guess there are some people who could taper down and be more responsible and try to get their hours down. But some people might need to just take a week off but not take a week off and do nothing with idle time. Take a week off, hike, move your body, and or read a book. You know, I talked to some really amazing, powerful people in this world, thanks to my Instagram account, get connected with amazing people.
Yeah.
And universally, they say that they've gotten to where they are by reading lots of books.
Mm-hmm.
So there's something about reading books that allows you to retain information. You're exercising the mind.
Yeah.
You're creating images in your mind as far as if it's a novel, a story. You have to comprehend the information and use the imagination center in your brain to get the story going. So you're literally exercising the mind. A lot of people aren't doing that. And I would say that if you could figure out a way to have fun, and one of the things that me and my family are doing is we have 30 minutes of reading every single day at 8:30 p.m. We're also teaching our kids how to play chess. And by the way, these family games, especially when you go out to a restaurant, you see families that are all staring at their phones. Like, that's a sad sight.
I get so angry. I can't tell you if my kids, like, because we have a big family. I have 5 children. So when we all go to dinner, if somebody takes out that phone, and then of course the next one, so-and-so has their phone out, so I'm going to take my phone. I lose it. Put the phones away immediately, because that is not family time.
I hear you. And I used to do that too. But you know what, Dr. Janine?
Yeah.
These tech guys are brilliant. They're being paid millions of dollars to get your kids and us addicted to the screen, right?
Yeah.
So the better way, instead of saying don't do this, is to either get a miniature chess set, play with your kids while you're waiting for your food, and or there's these card games. It's called the family game. And you go around, pick one card, and you ask everyone a question.
That's amazing.
It's one of the most beautiful things that you can do as a family together, especially when you're waiting for a meal. So my point being is, if you could detox and spend some time in nature, wonderful, number one. Two, encourage reading. Three, encourage moving your body. And four, I would say, if you guys could figure out a way to spend some quality time together with like games or chess, instead of just saying, don't do this, that would allow your mind to just chill out a little bit and ease.
Right.
And move forward without having to be so dependent on the phone.
Amazing. Amazing tips. That's great takeaways. Thank you so much, because I think a lot of people are in the same situation. It's a new situation. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, this whole technological boom for our generation, it's new, and we're yes, we got sucked in, but how do we pull ourselves out in a healthy and happy way? And that's why I know that when you sort of make that transition from doing something and having a substitute. So whether it's, you know, like you said, I love the fact that you said get out into nature, because that's like the basis of my next book completely. Like you just, that's exactly it, right? So how do you not, you know, sit idly, like you said, in a mountaintop? How do you, you know, translate that time that you were spending on the tech into something else? You have to find those things and, you know, those games. I'm going to, you know, pick your brain a little bit more.
And Dr. Janine, the key thing here, Doc, is to do this together as a family.
Right.
Because,
yes, yes.
You know, literally a couple of weeks ago, I got fired from one of my clients because the kid that came in was obese and the parents were both obese.
Yeah.
And he had some behavioral issues. And I said, okay, well, we need to start eating better. We need to start moving our body. And they said, yeah. And then after months of this kind of stuff, nothing changed. And they were asking for a pill. And I said, look, you know, it's not going to change unless, you know, Johnny starts moving his body and eating cleaner.
Right.
And bottom line is, if the parents aren't going to change the way they eat and change their lifestyle, it's not like the kids can all of a sudden become paleo and vegan and start working out like a champ. So this has to be a family effort. And so for the people watching this, I'm hoping that Dr. Janine, you could lead a movement where we could all, and maybe this could be something in the book, where we could all start doing something like this together.
Absolutely.
As a family, as a team, as a community.
I think, and that's great, because that's something that I did want to, it's not one of the questions that I, you know, had planned to ask you, but it's something that came to me earlier today that I think what happens in social media, and I know because I've seen some of your content, is that there's a lot of negativity out there. There's a lot of focus on the wrong things, the things that we don't want to happen in the world. And I think as collectively, you know, if we're somewhat like-minded and people that want to move more positively into the future, we do that together and we focus on manifesting the good things. So we don't talk about, and we don't, because whatever you focus on, the law of attraction, whatever you focus on expands, as we know. So how can we collectively create this movement now that's, you know, it's all good. It's all, you know, it's all rainbows. It's all good. It's all about focusing and manifesting more of the good. And we do that collectively. I think it's great. Hey, maybe we just started it right here, right now. I don't know.
Yeah. And, just piggybacking on your points, my favorite actress of all time is Audrey Hepburn, the great Audrey Hepburn.
Oh, yes.
And
classic.
She has this quote that changed my life, and she said, "For beautiful eyes, seek the goodness in others." I was like, "Wow, you know," because you're absolutely right. In social media, people are just so quick to poke at everything that's wrong.
Right.
I saw a video today of some doctor saying that eating an apple is bad for your health.
I'm oh like, my
Come
goodness.
On, man! Water is bad for you now. Like everything's bad for you.
Okay? Of course,
but you know, people like me, you, and the people watching this podcast, we should make that movement into seeking the good in other things, because there are a lot of challenging things happening in the world right now, and we don't need to be constantly reminded of that.
No.
I'm sure you and I could agree upon that, Doc.
Of course. And I think with, you know, the feeds, they, you know, if you start to be interested in some of that and you get sucked in, like I was saying earlier, into some of that content, then that social media platform is going to be sending you more and more and more. And how can you not, right? And now we're actually feeding energy into this big bad thing that we don't want to happen in the world. We gotta flip the coin there. We've got to do something different. So I think that's a message to anybody who's watching this, is to start making sure that you're focusing your thoughts, your energy, and your meditations, whatever it is that you do in terms of, your aspirations for your future, for yourself, for your family, for your loved ones, for everyone collectively, that we're focusing on the positive, because you get what you think about. Yeah. Law of attraction, you get what you think about. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I've been practicing psychiatry for about 18, 19 years now, right?
Wow. Yeah.
And I work with people who are struggling with life, with their mental health, all this stuff. And then through my social media over years, I got to meet people like you and some really amazing people who are in a good, positive direction in life. And you want to take a wild guess what the biggest difference is? There's one Please thing that I've noticed over 18 years of life, okay, practicing. The people who are struggling in life, greater than 50% of the time, 51% or greater, are focusing on things that are stressing them out. Like, oh my God, I got to pay my bills. I got to deal with this jackass tomorrow. I got to take my kids to this. Uh-huh. I got this. I got taxes, whatever. Yeah. Their 51% or greater is that focused. The other guys, you know what they're focusing on?
Mm-hmm.
What they want.
Right.
Look at you. You want to get your podcast going because you told me before the show started that you were busy with your social media. Now it's time to get your podcast going. You're busy writing a book. You are focusing on what you want, your target destination. And that's what these people do.
Yes.
And people forget about that. They practice. People literally exercise anxiety and worry all the time. Greater than 51% of the time, they're thinking about all the things that hasn't happened yet, but they're literally manifesting, as you said, things that they don't want. So what I advise my clients is we need a trigger. We need something to remind people to practice thinking positive, practice belief. Before we go to bed, 5 minutes every night, because for whatever reason, people have a tendency to think about all the things that they don't want to do the next day, the night before. So how about we flip the script on that? 5 minutes at bedtime, we focus on believing in something that hasn't happened yet, but that's going to be dope. And I'm telling you, just like you said, you're going to start attracting better things. You're going to actually wake up feeling better. You notice
Absolutely.
A lot of people wake up with anxiety.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And that's the definition of faith, isn't it? I mean, what you just said, you're believing in something that you don't yet see or you're not necessarily experiencing. That is faith. And so.
And I think it's only fair that we practice belief. 5 minutes. So everyone watching this tonight, let's do it tonight together. There's power in numbers. 5 minutes at bedtime before we go to bed. Let's believe in something. Yeah. Visualize it, feel good about it, and let's manifest it together.
Absolutely. Yes. Love it. Love it. Amazing. 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 And I know a lot of, the people that follow me, they follow you, they really do entrust in, the information that we share, and they do it. I mean, I follow up with my viewers every week. I have my weekly show that's live, and I follow up and I ask, okay, who did this from last week's show? And yeah, sure enough, all these comments come up, and then I'm seeing that, yes, I tried it, I did it. And, it's amazing. And I think power in numbers, absolutely. So yeah, amazing, amazing. Okay, my next question. So when we're talking about the spotlight effect, can you please tell us what the spotlight effect is? I know I saw in one of your posts, the spotlight effect, and I thought, wow, yeah, that is so interesting. So please enlighten us. What is
sure,
that?
Sure. I want to preface this by saying that back in the day when I was a medical student, a third or fourth year medical student, I had to give a presentation in front of a room full of doctors. And I've given plenty of presentations in the past amongst other students, but this is the first time I had to present in front of doctors. And I was like nervous that they were going to grill me.
Oh yeah.
So during my presentation, I fainted. I had a panic attack and I fainted. I know,
oh,
it was really embarrassing.
Wow.
Yeah, it sucked. And then when I woke up, they surrounded me, all the doctors, they're trying to like get me up, and they said, all right, well, if you're okay, next week you got to come back and finish the presentation. So
wow.
I've always had this like fear of public speaking. It's horrible. So for you guys watching this, I'm sure you didn't faint on stage. So it's okay. I mean, it couldn't have gotten worse than whatever happened to me. But that got me thinking. One of the therapists that I saw taught me about the spotlight effect. And basically, it changed everything for me, which is this. People had this misconceived notion that others are always watching them. The spotlight is on them, and others care about us a lot more than they really do. Uh-huh. And Dr. Janine, it's not to say that people don't care about you or me. They just care about themselves a lot more than us. So, you know, who they're hanging out with tonight, issues with their family, their health, what they're eating tonight is a lot more important than if I were to stumble my words today and make a fool out of myself on my on your show. It might be the thing for a moment, like, oh, I can't believe StreetMD said that, ha ha. But afterwards, they got bills to pay and they got to go to work. They got to deal with some knucklehead. That is a lot more urgent to them. So once I've understood that, like, huh, you know, I fainted on stage and that was really embarrassing. But at the end of the day, no one gives an SHIT at the end of the day. So then I was just able to go back out there and do my thing. I passed it. I didn't like kill it or anything. And so for anyone watching this, it's okay to be okay. Even when the greatest speakers on the planet, Barack Obama, say whatever you want about his politics, but he was one of the greatest speakers ever. And I've seen him fumble plenty of times. And people don't remember any of this stuff. It's just like, whatever. It's like he said, whatever. But so for the people watching this, it's okay. Be yourself. And if you stumble, no one really cares. You move on. It only becomes a big deal if you make it a big deal. So if you stumble on something and you keep talking about it, then people will be like, dude, yeah, you're right. You did mess up. But you mess up on a presentation, you do something wrong, you own it, you move on. And then people are jumping on to the next thing. So please learn the spotlight effect, implement it into your life, practice it. And anxiety wise, I would say that will probably decrease your levels of anxiety by like 50% if you don't care what other people really think. Because at the end of the day, they really don't care.
They don't care. They don't care about you. They don't, right? At the end of the day, like nobody really cares. So that it
just... Do you care that the Queen of England passed, 8 months ago? Does that still bother you?
It's sad.
Probably not.
It's sad, but
we don't think about it. It's not on our mind.
No, exactly. It's not in the spotlight. Right, exactly. So I love that because I think that is a great takeaway for a lot of people who do seem to have, and one of the tricks that I've learned, you know, and have helped my patients with over the years was the fact that if you are always focusing in on what's wrong with you, especially with anxiety types of issues and, or you're stressed about, you know, a health concern that you're going through, if you're always focusing inwards, I would say, go and volunteer. Go and, you know, help somebody. Go call, you know, call a friend. Call somebody who's going to be positive, of course. You know, say hello to a stranger. Like, take it outside of yourself. And I think that may, if I'm correct, be a little bit like the spotlight effect. It's like when you're self-focused on your own issues, and that could be, like I said, the health concern, the anxiety, whatever it is, the mental health, whatever, the imbalance, let's say, you're not in tune with nature any longer. If you're always focused within, it becomes so super important that you can't see anything good outside of yourself. So I think that this is, you know, where this may be tying in is to take the focus outside of yourself a little bit. And like we said earlier, you know, join a movement that is more positive and forward-looking in a positive way, manifesting more positive things, not focusing in. And I think this ties back to the social media issue as well, because the social media tends to have that thread of that negativity and that focus. And, you know, there's all this like underpinnings of this darkness that's happening. No, we've got to pull ourselves out of that and not focus on it, right?
Well, yeah, because the fear and outrage is what, you know, if it bleeds, it leads kind of thing. So that's the one that gets the attention. It's very difficult to grow a social media account and have a following and get people to like and share your content, giving positive tips like you're doing.
Yeah.
So now if I could make a generous critique on something that you're doing that I don't know if you even realize, but it's piggybacking on what you just said. When you do your Instagram lives, right?
Yes.
You know, you are going outwards. You're not someone thinking, oh, do I look cool right now? Am I saying the cool thing? Your mission is to make sure that the people watching this understand the message and they take better care of themselves. So people can feel the essence of your intentions. And that's exactly what I'm talking about. What you were talking about too. You're going outwards. And for anyone who has any fear of public speaking, if you remember that it's not about you, it's about them.
Right.
The people that you're trying to influence and help. So once you understand that, then the anxiety disappears. So you're really going out with trying to help people out. And I think Dr. Janine, you're doing a fantastic job on your Instagram lives with that. You're going outward. So learn from her.
Oh, that's so kind. Thank you. And likewise, I mean, your social media account, StreetMD, UGMD. Yeah, I know that amazing information that you share. And I love your sort of comic sort of spin on things. Some of your posts are amazing, amazing, very clever. And your children are also in some of your posts as well. So your daughter's like amazing on camera. I was so impressed. So good, so good.
Well, I got to pay them, Dr. Janine. And so my daughter wants like Lululemon gear or whatever she wants. And I'm not one of these parents that just buys it. It's like, all right, well, then you got to do a skit. We're going to do a skit on magnesium, and I'm going to put it in your mouth. You're going to swallow it and pretend that you enjoy it. You know, so we do things like
amazing.
That.
It's fun. That's fun. That's fun. Well, getting them involved, right? And so getting them off of the tech and yeah, getting them to do fun things together is amazing. Yeah.
I think it's very important for parents. Like, I know you have children as well, but from my experience as a parent, seeing an 11-year-old and a 13-year-old, it's very important for them to understand work ethic.
Yes.
And that there needs to be a reward for good behavior. And hey, if you're going to be a lazy lizard and just stare at your phone all day, then you know, you're not going to get any reward. In fact, there will be consequences. And consequences as in, you know, screen time's off at a certain time. Sorry, but we're not going to treat you to the extra Lululemon thing that you want. So, but it is very important to reward people for good behavior if you want to enhance that good behavior. So,
right. Amazing. Amazing. Okay. A question really quickly. I know that you like to focus on, you know, some herbal use. So herbal medicines, being a holistic psychiatrist. Can we talk about ashwagandha a little bit? One of my favorite herbal medicines. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what do you love about it? I know how much I love it. I've done posts on it. Tell me, and if you are actually clinically using it, can you tell us, you know, some of the positive attributes of ashwagandha and where you would use it clinically with your patients?
Right. So from my clinical experience, there are a lot of people who are quote unquote a-holes or jerks that get misdiagnosed with bipolar disorder.
Oh, wow.
And bipolar disorder is a condition where someone has usually depression and then they go through spikes of mania where they're racing, their mind's racing, they're up for like 2-3 nights in a row, they're talking some bizarre things, and then they crash and they're miserable.
Wow.
So what we do in psychiatry, unfortunately, is we give people these mood stabilizers that really like tranquilize them. And so I saw a young man, he's in his early 20s, and he was loaded up on a medication called Seroquel and Zyprexa. Now, these two, Dr. Janine, are like bazooka antipsychotic medicines.
Wow.
And I'm like, wait a second, was this kid hearing voices? Was he? No, Dr. Yee, the previous doctor put him on these meds because he had a lot of anger issues. So I connected with the kid. It's a lot easier or less difficult to influence someone if there's a connection.
Right.
And once he kind of felt like he liked me and he could trust me, I asked him if he would like to taper down on some of these antipsychotics. In exchange, let me offer you some ashwagandha. Ashwagandha is an herb, and it's an amazing, from my experience, an amazing Zen mood stabilizer.
Zen, I love that. Yeah.
Right. It brings you back to homeostasis. So meaning, like, if you're really depressed, it gives you some energy, picks you back up. If you're very angry and you're anxious all the time, you're panicking, it chills you back. It brings you back to homeostasis.
Yes.
So this kid, and I'm not saying that this is medical advice for anyone here, but this is something to consider, talk to your doctor about. But I was able to take someone off of two hardcore antipsychotic medications and substitute with ashwagandha and pickleball. So now he's got all this energy, right?
Really?
Yeah, so now he's chill. He's not angry as much anymore. It's almost like the ashwagandha buys him like 3 seconds. If something happens, instead of him just reacting, now he has about 3 seconds to respond to whatever is happening. And that changed so much.
Wow.
And with any excess energy that he has, well, yeah, maybe your body has this energy and it's great to release it in a socially acceptable way instead of punching holes in the wall. So now this guy's playing pickleball, and him and his family are playing pickleball.
Oh my
Ironically,
goodness.
Last night I bumped into them at the pickleball courts.
Wow, really?
So I'm so happy that I got you to try pickleball. These people are letting go of the meds, and they're taking herbal supplementations. They're meditating. They're working out. They're having fun.
Amazing.
And so for people watching this, yes, herbals and supplementation is great, but I wish that everyone watching this podcast, it is my genuine desire and wish that everyone plays a little bit more.
Yeah.
We lost the art of play over the years. Something about being grown up that like you got to work and you got to take care of things and make money. It's like, but we need to play. And I wish everyone could play a little bit more these days.
That's great advice. It's so simple, but it's such great advice because absolutely as adults, I think we've totally lost that, you know, even the zest to like, hey, call somebody up, a friend, a family member. Hey, let's go play. Let's go outside and play. And being outside is a big key component of this as well. You know, tying back to, you know, being out and connecting with nature and the grounding and your microbiome and all of that, of course, is so much enhanced and you're so much healthier by being outside and in a natural setting. So that's amazing. So yeah. And the pickleball. So yeah, love the pickleball. So thank you for that. I have to thank you. So for those of you who don't know, so I joked because as you know, I'm on television once a month and I was getting pickle elbow, if there's such a thing. Of course, I'm a tennis player. Oh. So there's tennis elbow, but I was getting like pickle elbow because I was whacking this thing. I don't know. I was like, I just had to kill this pickleball. I don't know what that says about maybe some pent up anger or something. I don't know. But, having so much fun. My little guy, my youngest son, he broke his arm. So it was like one of the only things that he, you know, could do. The tennis was a little bit, and this happened back in the summer for the first time he broke his arm. It's been twice now. So,
oh, wow.
So yeah, so it was one of the few things, you know, that I was confident in him not injuring himself further, but still getting him and remaining active. So it was amazing. It was like perfect timing. And we started playing and it was like, oh my goodness, I love this. It's just so much fun. It is so much fun.
Hey, text me or I'll send you some links of some cool pickleball instructors that you could learn from online. And
oh, know, really? Free, okay,
like,
cool.
Miracle, like little tips. It'll be great.
Yeah, that'd be great.
But just to cap up with ashwagandha, it's a great herb that helps reduce people's cortisol levels.
Okay.
And cortisol, of course, is a stress hormone that, you know, I believe everyone's cortisol levels are probably up these days with inflation and, you know, some of the crazy things that are happening in the world. And you know, I know people like you, you're warning your audience to focus on more of the positive, which is a discipline, really. It's a discipline to focus on the positive when there's so much negativity being thrown at you. But there are a lot of people being sucked into that and their cortisol levels are skyrocketing high. And when that happens, we got to figure out a way to not only have fun and play, but an herbal supplement like ashwagandha is great for helping reduce cortisol levels and nourishing your adrenal health. So amazing. Very, very important. And one other supplement that I think would be very important, since we were talking about technology addiction and dopamine dumping, is that I recommend for my clients to take supplements that help your body create dopamine naturally.
Right.
Okay. So of course, you know that medicines like Adderall, Ritalin, Concerta, Vyvanse, they don't have dopamine in there. These are chemicals that go into your brain and they stimulate the release of dopamine and norepinephrine and so on. But where does dopamine and norepinephrine come from? It comes from the foods that you eat. It comes from real meat, on the bone, not the ones in the patties in the box.
Yes,
It comes from pineapple, avocados, bananas, beans, nuts and seeds, pumpkin seeds especially. So most people that I know aren't eating like that. That's why it's very important to supplement. And specifically, tyrosine is an amino acid that your body requires to produce dopamine properly. And right. You also need cofactors like vitamin B6, B9, B12, magnesium, zinc to allow that transition from tyrosine to dopamine to occur. So I usually recommend that people take some a good quality B complex, tyrosine, and some magnesium to get the process going. Especially if you're staring at your phone a lot, we need to replenish that dopamine.
Absolutely. And I like the magnesium as well for when you're on tech and the EMFs because it helps to counteract that whole calcium influx through the VGCC, something that I educate people about. You really need a lot more magnesium. And of course, as we know, our soils are so depleted in magnesium, we simply don't get enough in our diet. So I find that that's really helpful for a lot of people just to simply start with, you know, a good quality magnesium supplement. And it goes a long way. So I'm glad to hear that we're on the same page there. That's really important for the dopamine as well. Amazing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, we're going to be wrapping up in a few minutes. Any final thoughts, anything that you feel that, you know, to come full circle? We talked about a lot of different topics today. What is Dr. Yi's big message? What is it that we need to, you know, do to be happier and healthier as a collective consciousness?
Sure, sure. I would say that, how about we end it with a story? I have a client. who's a billionaire. You ever been one of those guys? Have you ever met a billionaire in your lifetime?
I have.
You did?
Yeah. But they're very few and far between, absolutely. But yes.
Right. So this guy had a lot of anxiety, and I treated him. And in our last meeting, I said, look, now that you're good and you're moving on, let me ask you something. What is the most important lesson that you've learned in life as a billionaire? You must know something. And he said that all his life, he worked his tail off to make money to give his two girls everything that they could possibly want. And now that they're all grown, he said that he had a dinner with them in the mountain somewhere in their mountain home. And while they were eating, he said, hey, girls, do you remember that time when we went to Paris? We had that luxury hotel and we were overlooking the Eiffel Tower and we did X, Y, and Z, 1, 2, 3. And the girls both said, you know, I don't really remember much about that trip other than the pillow fights that we had. So he said that what you believe may be important for your kids and your family and your loved ones may not be important to them. And so there are a lot of people who are sad these days, like, oh, I don't have enough money, so I can't go on vacations. I can't do this, that, and the third. But you know what? Sometimes it's just like a pillow fight that the kids will remember for the rest of their lives and cherish. So I know that you're busy working and the people watching this, they may be busy and they might feel guilty that they don't get to spend 4 hours with their kids. But you know what? You can spend 4 hours with your kids staring at your phone and that's nothing. They won't remember any of that. Right. You could spend 5 minutes tickling them, giving them a nice little massage, a hug, a kiss, you know, making them laugh, play a chess game or something. That's the kind of stuff that they're going to take with them. Yeah. And I really do believe that the most important thing is to keep the most important thing, the most important thing. And if you are lucky enough to be healthy and have cognition and the ability to remember and move and be healthy, the most important thing that you really could do with your time is to create memories with the people that you love. I cannot think of anything that is more important than that. So today, with someone that you care about, let's create a memory together. Play pickleball, make them laugh, you know, pillow fights.
Exactly.
Just be safe. Don't hit them too hard.
Well, don't get the pickle elbow like I did. Amazing, amazing advice, information. Dr. Yi, I am so happy to have had this discussion with you today. Thank you so much. Awesome, awesome job. I will look forward to speaking with you again soon. And good luck with all of your endeavors and everything that you're working on social media. I know how it is.
I appreciate you. I appreciate your team. And congratulations to you and all your success. It's the byproduct of the impact that you've made on your community there. So keep going.